All right, no warm up on this one. Let's just get into it.
Jesus, fuck it, let's do it live.
Episode 42. This is called The Answer.
The Answer. Why? Well, Google that shit. You know why.
So we were just looking at a post that I forwarded to Ori a couple days ago, where I'll read a quote. Cyber attacks will move into the real world. Next year will be the year of cyber physical hacking.
What the fuck is a cyber physical? What is it? A computer virus jumping to the real world? What is it? A Skynet? What is cyber physical?
I can't even read this quote, man. We've seen the damage a ransomware attack can cause on a company's digital assets. But what happens when we move beyond cyberspace and into the real world? From attacks on manufacturing equipment to surveillance cameras to data centers, we're talking about extremely costly and damaging events that have the power to shut down business operations entirely.
Why next year? We've been doing this for 20 years already. It's been happening already, dude.
It gets better, man. Unfortunately, this could be the year of the cyber wake-up call the industry has warned about for years.
Wait, so cyber wake-up call on a what was it? The cyber 9/11, the cyber tsunami. What's next?
Cyber tsunami? Dude, you need to trademark that.
Dude, cyber tactical. I remember I coined that one a few years back, cyber tactical.
And you also skiff.cloud.
Well, that is still going on. I have customers already, man.
Do you have the new AWS ATO?
Yes. Yes. And by the way, if you go to skiff.cloud, you get a discount if you're using Windows XP. So make sure you know that.
Dude, I almost spit my scotch
everywhere. What the fuck is cyber physical?
In cyber wake-up call.
In cyber wake-up call.
I'm not going to say the person's name unless you really want to.
No. I mean, it's a respect to security guy, so I'm surprised he's saying that. Yeah.
I don't even...
this is episode 42 is the answer, right? That definitely is not the answer.
Definitely not. So as I'm scrolling through a chat, man, I just came across the tactical...
Put better tactically. Oh, yeah. The little tool in multicam, right?
Yeah. The kind of shit we send back and forth.
Nice.
So I don't have the question. When did you send me the question?
As I can probably read it from my phone.
Oh, okay.
That was a good question. I email you.
Oh, the email. Yeah, here's one... So, do you want me to start off with the one you texted me, and then...
We can start with that, and then I'll find the other one.
Okay. So, this was November 17th. This was sent. Says, hey, I'm a sophomore in college, and I was wondering what the best way is to break out in this industry. I'm really interested in doing network security and physical pen testing as part of a red team, but I'm not sure where to begin. What type of internships do you think would help me in this field in the future? I've been looking for positions, but a lot of them require certifications.
Gee, didn't we answer that already? I'm not sure.
Do we?
I don't know.
We can answer it again. I can't afford... you told him to get a fucking job. You said, like, become an intern.
Yeah.
Apply for a job. Be a security engineer and work your... Yeah, we covered it.
Damn. No, seriously, guys, if you want to go into security, if you're in college, best way to do it, become an intern in any high-tech firm that has a security engineering team.
Right? So you did answer it. What you sent me was actually his question with your answer, and you say in your answer, if I were to hire an intern, you've already failed.
You already failed because, Jesus, definitely.
Yeah, but try to find like an internship on any tech company that has a security engineering team. That's a good place to start.
And start working your way out. That's by the way, that's how I did it. That's probably how Dan did it. That's probably what everyone does. You start working, you know, as you start shadowing a security engineer. Then you start shadowing a pen tester. Then you start shadowing other people and start doing it yourself. That's the way you learn, right?
Yeah, I think...
Mentorship
or having no life in your parents' basement or in your room.
Building labs for yourself and
hacking NASA satellites.
No,
that's right.
That's illegal.
No one did that.
No.
No, we don't do that.
No.
We never did that.
No, we were never here.
I gotta admit, this Dalwhinnie Winter's Frost, I think, is better than the Dalwhinnie 15.
It definitely is, man. It's good. And winter is coming, by the way.
It is coming. It's already here. But it is coming.
Come on, man. It's just like 50 degrees outside. All right, this is the question I forwarded you.
Okay, yeah, I have that one pulled up. This is from The Diesel.
The Diesel. Yeah.
Do you want to read it or do you want me to read
it? Go for it, man.
All
right. Yours is better than mine, so. Yeah. It always sounds better.
In a recent episode, you discussed the use of security cameras and structures. How would you advise the use of external cameras at a residence, and are non-hardwired cameras a security risk?
Cyber-physical.
They're at risk of cyber-physical damage.
There you go, man.
That was a joke.
So he was right. Cyber-physical. There you go. Yeah.
Can a bad actor tap into your wireless camera to take advantage of your movements? Thank you, The Diesel.
Well, the answer is yes. Unless you, I mean...
To which question? Which part of the question?
Okay, so to everything. So go 5, 6, 7 years ago in the blog and search fun with wireless cameras.
Yep.
Right? And you're going to have a list of a list of commands that you can run, a list of searches you can run on Google and other places, and things that you can do with cameras right out of the bat. Most people install cameras and they leave them as default.
That's what I do.
And then you can overtake them. And if you keep on searching, you're going to find that we do cover some cameras near the TAD factory in San Francisco when we did the 2 days course in there. And I show everyone how to tap into those things and do the reconnaissance inside an office without even actually being anywhere near. Right? So, yes, bad actors can come and play with your fucking cameras. Period.
Yes.
No, seriously. You don't leave them. I mean, if you install wireless cameras, which are fine, make sure you harden them for security. Basic hardening is change the default password, change the default IPs. You know, don't play with anything default. Change everything.
Yeah.
Update the firmware. Don't leave the original firmware that came with it.
That's what a lot of people don't understand is most cameras are set up for DHCP, and then they'll either pull off a new IP address off the network gateway, or they're hardwired with certain IP address ranges, which if you know the difference between like a 172 versus a 192, you can tell which manufacturers. Plus, also, you should probably change the MAC address of the camera, because if you're just sniffing the Ethernet frames,
it's easy to find them, and you know they're a weak point.
Yeah, and then you'll be able to know the manufacturer, and then you can see, okay, between this range of MAC addresses, this is what the camera version was and probably what the firmware was.
Like, right.
Additionally, most cameras, except for like the more commercial ones, like what are they called? Drop cams now?
Yeah.
Oh, no, Nest cams. Nest cams, yeah. And some other kind of big deal, by big deal I mean more commercialized, they have a certain level of security baked into them now. But they were vulnerable in the past. If you have an older version of them, there's ways to get into those. Additionally, if your home wireless is set up improperly, keep in mind they're riding off of your home network in order to do like internet connectivity to go back to the portal. So if you're running WEP, they're
gonna get in anyway.
Yeah, that, and they're also probably connecting to your access point with WEP. So it depends on how the person has set them up.
Right. So listen, when Danny's saying get layers of security, first of all, if you're connecting wireless cameras, don't connect them directly to the same network where everything else is. Create a subnetwork, create whatever. Fake wireless, call it something else, right? Sometimes some of the wireless access points allows you to create, you know, guest networks and whatnot. Yep. Get that going.
Yep.
Just for the wireless cameras. Don't connect anything else.
So you need to segregate with your cyber physical and make sure that the network isn't connected.
That will become this. I should make a t-shirt of that.
We should make a domain name and forward it to skiff.cloud.
Ooh, cyber physical skiff in the cloud. Check it out, dude. That's awesome. But no, seriously. First layer of defense is hardening the cameras, putting them on a different wireless LAN. Second level security, or actually it should be the first level security, actually configure your wireless properly, right?
I highly recommend putting them on the guest network, like Ori said. Don't put them on your home network, because if they can break in some way, if they want to go after your camera, they break into the network, they're now going after your entire network.
Yeah, and if you happen to have, let's say, a network drive with all your like files and everything, like your tax returns and whatever, boom, right? Plus, I mean, most likely they're not coming after you proper. They're want your bandwidth. They want your cycles for whatever they want, right?
Or you have a nosy neighbor if you live like in a high rise.
Yeah, exactly.
Like when I lived across from the Pentagon in Pentagon City. Shh. Well, I mean, I'm not going to say too much, but off of Army Navy Drive, there was basically the Pentagon City Mall, and with my my Pringles and Cantenna. And some other things.
Oh, in the roof. Yeah.
Yeah. We're just sniffing all day, every day. And it was interesting.
For fun and profit, yeah.
Well, I mean, for work too, but yeah. But it was interesting what you would see with people's unsecured Wi-Fi cameras in their apartments.
So, in short, make sure everything you install in any kind of wireless is not default, has the latest firmware that the company can offer. And in cases of cameras or other devices that are not directly your computers or phones, connect them to a separate either guest network or a separate network altogether. Right? So bad actors coming after you, if I were a bad actor coming after you, the first thing I'm going to do is try to tap into whatever things that would allow me to see what's going on, and that is a camera, right? Some of the modern doorbells that have the camera, it's all wireless.
Ring. Right.
That is a great way to get into your network, because they're mostly insecure because people leave them on default. So, there.
Or remember, the Amazon like remote delivery bullshit.
Oh yeah.
Where like you'd give the UPS or FedEx guy the ability to unlock your door.
Oh gosh, why would anyone do that?
My good friends over at Rhino Security, one of my good friends, Hector is not a good friend. I'll just throw that out there.
Okay, this is gonna be a good episode.
I know, but yeah, I gotta throw it out there, man, because I don't want to associate with Hector. But they did some really good cutting edge research on the Amazon cameras when they first came out. Mm-hmm. Like Ori was saying, change those passwords, different network, and also use a reputable camera manufacturer.
Definitely, don't just get some of the lesser Chinese cameras.
Like the $39.99, and you get 12 IP cameras off of eBay or Amazon.
You know what? Get that and let me know. And then I'll make a point.
Yeah, or get that and do some of your own security research against it, so you can see yourself through practice just how vulnerable these things are. And then once you've saved up enough money, go buy like a Nest Cam or something else.
Yeah, there are a few companies out there that are doing a great job, but it costs money. Good hardware costs money. Good security costs money. Yep. So,
I know you said it in short, but didn't we do a presentation a couple of years ago where you demonstrated?
Through Shodan.
We got
into cameras.
Yeah. That's where we should forward cyberphysical.com
to. Ooh, to Shodan?
To Shodan.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's a really, if you have an account in Shodan, there's a really easy way, and maybe you can put it on the notes of the podcast later, but there's a really easy way to search by geolocation all the open cameras on the street. And what Dan and I did was over a presentation, we end up finding a bunch of cameras that were looking at the buildings we were in, and all from our comforts of our office, right? And these were not our cameras, it was someone else's cameras. But regardless, it's fun to find cameras in universities, and you can see what's going on inside like labs and stuff like that. The other tool, if you want to know how easy it is and how much information these cameras and access points leak, that's the website that maps all the wireless in there.
Wiggle,
there you go.
Wiggle.net.
Yeah, and go and see what's up around your house. on your building or your office and see what you can do with it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And since you're super remote doing this stuff, and I like how we turn it to more offensive in nature here.
Yeah. Well,
pay someone $20 to try to open a door or try to get in without entry and then see reaction.
Right.
Remotely, you can see what the reaction force looks like because you've tapped into the camera surrounding your target.
Right. And, you know, then I always say reconnaissance is the most important part of everything. So spend time observing your target. If you have access to observing your target without being there, boom. You know, half the job is already done.
Right.
So hopefully we answer the question. So yeah, you can, but actors can tap into your wireless. So boom.
Boom.
Now we're going, let's go into observe the patterns, make a plan, blend in and execute.
The four elements.
The four elements. Now we're talking about reconnaissance and understanding what's going on.
I'm going to pour some more scotch while you're collecting your thoughts. It looks like you need some too.
Yeah, maybe. Ooh, that's good. Oh, this is really good, man.
Yeah.
Oh.
Two finger again?
More like
three fingers.
Damn. Okay.
Oh shit. That's like a.
That's just like a five finger.
That's like a fist.
All right. Well, you're staying. You're staying here. I have to drive. So.
Dude, that's already half a bottle.
Damn, man. All right. Well, life is good.
I'm telling you guys, this Dalwhinnie Winter's Frost is pretty good. Pick it up.
Yeah. By the way, to all those of you who celebrate, happy Hanukkah.
Yep.
First night tonight. I'm Jewish, but I don't really care about Hanukkah.
I'm not, but I do care about Hanukkah.
There you go. I actually care.
I just got to play opposite, man.
There you go. Be contrarian, man.
Red teaming you. Like always.
No, no. All right, so I don't know what I was going to say, but the four elements of red teaming. I think we need to do a full episode on this, but when I wanted to touch, given the last questions we just answered, one of the things you need to understand, and it's the first element, is observing the patterns. What's up?
No, continue. I was just going to see if that would be a good picture. The waveform through the scotch. Don't mind me, dude. Okay. Seriously, continue.
As you can see, we are doing it live. It's
the people will see what I'm talking about in a second.
Okay.
Maybe. In a second, they're going to be like, well, what do you mean? Nothing's posted. That's because we recorded this.
You know, we need to find a way to do it live. Really live, like broadcast it live, and you know, record it at the same time, and have people ask questions immediately, like as we speak.
Do like a cyber physical Google Hangout.
Yeah, something like that.
Even though they're gonna close Google Hangouts, I heard.
Are they?
Yeah.
It's not gonna go to Google Meets or something.
I think they're gonna do it only for enterprises, but like for personal stuff, like Google Chat's going away or whatever they call it.
Mm. Well, my company still has the G Suite thing, so.
Well, because it's a commercial, it's like the corporate thing.
So we can, but yeah, the problem is that the maximum capacity there is 25 people per chat. Or per,
don't
per,
we have a Red Team Slack channel?
That we do, yes. Yeah, but how do we put the sound out? I don't care about the email, the video.
Maybe a listener knows a good way. I know we've had in the past when we were doing the New York City.
Yeah, so we need to find a way to stream it live somewhere.
YouTube live. We just don't show video. I've seen a bunch of YouTube live streams or before.
I don't have Facebook, but we can create a Facebook Red Team channel just for the this, and that's it.
I don't have experience with Facebook.
Either but, way, yeah. YouTube, we can do definitely YouTube.
It has like scrolling chat on the right hand side.
Yeah, the YouTube. I think I posted two episodes there, so we can probably piggyback on that.
Yeah,
and have a live. I don't know.
And have the camera facing the bottle of scotch or bottles of scotch or the bartender.
Yeah, the bartender. Yeah,
but it was a fun time last time we did it live.
Yeah.
It was a little too fun.
For you, maybe.
I'll be drinking only water going forward.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the four elements. damn, man, you always do the same to me. You always manage to get me, like, really out of what I'm trying to say.
Red teaming, man. Get your game up, bro.
Do it, but I'm trying to do the cyber-physical thing.
Oh, okay, yeah. Let's be serious. Cyber-physical seriousness.
Yeah, cyber-seriously.
It's been too long since we've recorded.
Oh, man, this is something. Yeah, we didn't have anything prepared for today. We're just winging it.
Dude, they don't know that. Just go for it.
Dude, you posted a picture?
I'm gonna... Yeah, look how fucking cool that is with the waveform going through the scotch.
Okay, go for it. And, yeah. I'll post a picture of you posting it.
Should I do black and white like I always do? Or should I do, no filter? I feel like a fucking teenager. Are you really recording me, man? Come on.
Dude, I'm obsessed of doom.
Dude, if my face is in that shit.
No, your face
or is my not. Fucking beer belly, I'm gonna fucking kill you.
No.
Oh, that's fine. Whatever. I like how when I was doing pictures of the lockpicks that I started building, which you need to fucking try downstairs one time.
Oh, just no, bring them up and we lock, you know, we just open something. Let me try them.
Well, I'll let you try them, but what I'm saying is you need to try to make one.
Oh, okay, sure.
Yeah.
I'll go the cyber physical.
You gotta fucking throw cyber physical into everything.
Dude, now it's gonna be my, you know, instead of saying bro or dude, it's gonna be cyber physical.
Cyber physical, man. I am so using that in tomorrow's meeting. Hashtag cyber physical.
Of doom, bro.
Of doom.
Bro, do you even cyber physical?
People are going to be like, what the fuck is he posting?
Yeah, well, what the fuck are we doing with this episode?
You're going to start talking about the four elements. And
well, I wanted to, yeah, I keep on trying to talk about the first element, observe the patterns. But
let's do it. Observe the patterns.
All right. Since you keep on interrupting me, I'm going to let you talk about it. Observe the
patterns. Well, I mean, I don't need the...
let's see what you got.
So I'm gonna do the observe the patterns without looking at your screen.
Okay.
We do try to prepare a little bit, apparently.
Sometimes.
So when you're on an engagement, you want to make sure that you're aware of what's around you, right? Mm-hmm. I always say the atmospherics, but you want to think of things like. What do you highlight? Focus first and foremost on the people, their patterns of life, their social landscape.
They go technology and physical.
Yeah, that's the atmospherics, man.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Then make the plan. Okay, so it's kind of like thinking what the systems level thinking, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have everything is a system if you look at life that way. Everything has a cause and an effect, an action and a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So when you are looking around your environment, think about why are people doing things the way they're doing them. Why are things happening the way they're happening?
Mm-hmm.
And think about kind of like, you know, the root cause analysis of all that. You can start to see patterns emerge over, okay, now that I'm seeing somebody doing this or I've seen this happen before, I know this is part of a larger system. And so I can start seeing what's breaking down.
Good. Now let's tie that up with the level 4 and 3 that Mark Mateski was talking about last time. Because... what I was thinking, that's why I wanted to come to this element, is it all starts with the organization proper. Doesn't matter whether it's a private organization, a government organization, a team of people, one single individual. It begins to whoever or whatever created that organization or way of thinking or way of doing things. And it cascades down from that into the policies, into the way of doing technology, into the way people behave, into the product, into everything. So once you start identifying what is the initial thought that an organization was created on, you can begin to understand how everything else falls down from there. Make sense?
Yeah, there's the corporate culture, but that corporate culture over time is going to start impacting culture that starts to form around like cliques of people and different areas.
Correct. And you can begin to see patterns percolate through all the different levels, right? And that's what I wanted to touch right now with that first element. It's you know, go to redteamsjournal.com and read the four levels that Mark is talking about, because it totally makes sense. It changed the way I'm looking at how to red team, how red teaming is gonna be in the future, right? Because we're getting to a point where, you know, Dan and I have been talking about the overall red teaming, you know, looking at the whole picture. That is great. That will be probably level 3. Mark identified an even greater, higher level, which is level 4, which is like, it's the culture. It's the how it was created. It's the thought process between the leaders of the company. It's the industry and how the industry is affecting the thought process. It's a bunch of other things that are too non-technical, too very metaphysical, if you will. That creates a pattern that percolates through the whole process.
Yeah, I mean, if you have outward forces or top-down forces pushing change and are impacting things below it, obviously, there, again, the action and reaction,
right.
There's going to be that reaction back, either boiling things back up, pushing back up, or spawning out into their own like microcosms of actions, which will then cause even more reactions, like a chain reaction.
Yep.
Without horrible Keanu Reeves and Morgan Freeman.
Why?
Pop culture reference, man, from like 1990.
Jesus,
I think they were in that movie, right? Chain reaction. I don't know. Two.
Morgan Freeman and Keanu were there.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Did you? Sorry, I'm just too tired.
You need to keep drinking.
Right. No, I lost my train of thought again.
So once you have those patterns.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so once you have the patterns, at the end of the day, if you do your reconnaissance right, and by reconnaissance now, we mean the reconnaissance, the observing the networks and people and learning the industry, sure. But now, let's take it to an even greater point here, is understand what came before the company. Why the company was created, or the organization? What was the driving force behind that? You know, what was the founder? So what was the first product that came out of that organization, or what was the first mission that organization had, and how it affected the following? What happened with the markets? Did the markets decided that the organization should fail, so they kind of do the 180, and now, you know, things like this company that used to make cell phones with a keyboard that now makes something else. Why don't you just fucking die already? But no, you know what I mean. The original concept was at the time was really good, and now they decided it's a whole different thing. But the ideas that the founders had are still there, and you can feel it.
Yeah, an organization or a company was founded or created for a reason, right. And that was to address a problem.
Yeah.
So understanding what that true problem was will help you understand everything else much easier, because you'll understand what problem they're trying to solve, and that will help you understand when you start to pick up on things,
correct.
The atmospherics, how correct. That lends to solving that problem.
Right, and you know, at the end of the day,
or not.
Right. At the end of the day, you want to mimic a specific thing, right? You want to mimic the worst case scenario. In my case, because I always go worst case scenario. I don't care about, oh, I want to see if someone can break into a web server. Yeah, whatever, dude. Just hire a pen tester. But what I'm trying to do is I give you the worst case scenario. Why? Because no one really believes that worst case scenarios will happen. Well, let me show you what would happen if the worst case scenario were actually to realize in your company, right? And are you ready for that? Are your policy ready for that? Is your business continuity ready for that? Is your leadership ready for that? Is your planning ready for that? Is your whole ideology ready for that, right? So understand where you're coming from, or how you're coming from and why. Understand how that affects the way you think about everything, how your employee think about everything, how your team members think about everything. Understand how is that impacting products and the industry and the way things are being done, and understand how bad actors can piggyback on that. Understand the patterns, understand where the weaknesses are, and not necessarily go and break your mail server or send you an exploit and just get into your servers. They don't sometimes, most times, they don't need to.
Yeah, let me, since you had mentioned, you know, a good friend even before we started recording.
Oh, yeah.
CC, mm-hmm. right? And so CC has really good insights on a lot of different things. And one of the things that
I love CC, man. Yeah. That guy is awesome.
Yeah, I need to hang out with him again. I think we met him for the climb. Was it the stair climb for kids before we
did the
Red Team Tough thing? Yeah, we should go to the Mad Raven.
In Massachusetts?
Yeah, and eat some steak dips. Yep. Drink a lot of beer. But I digress. The thing that... A lot of people are like, well, is red teaming just pen testing? You're talking about pen testing all the time. Well, no. Think about, again, what Ori has been saying in terms of, like, the corporate culture, the organization's culture, the strategy they're trying to do. And then, like, Mark Metesky, for example, he's at that strategic level. He's like a luminary there.
Right.
And he's trying to solve those problems for organizations. There could be market competitors, and I know this for a fact, there are market competitors out there for certain companies that are trying to understand the problem space that their competition's in and how they're solving it so they can be better at solving it. So if you look at that mindset, having somebody that's red teaming the strategy and the plans and looking at the atmospherics of that landscape and the corporate culture – is really imperative to understanding those weaknesses. And I think that's what you're calling out.
Right. And you know, the other thing that and I posted this on the blog and I posted this on Instagram and pretty much everywhere. CC had he wrote a letter to he's a professor. He wrote a letter to his students, right? And in this letter, at some point, he's saying, hey, you know, If you had an issue and you couldn't turn the paper on time, but you told me after the paper was due, that's a problem, right? I don't want that. That's bad. If you did it, if you came to me before that, tell me, hey, I'm going to have this problem because X and Y, that is not an excuse. That is an actual thing that we can work on, right? And that is right there. He summarized red teaming in one single quote. And I want to see if I can find the right quote so I can put it here on top. You know, the quote was...
That was a few days ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. Because it just killed my mind. after the fact, it's an excuse. Beforehand, it's a reason. Right there in one single very simple quote... He summarized red teaming. Boom.
Trademark.com.
Yeah. no, but seriously, I mean, the whole thing about red teaming is get you ready before the fact. get you to the best version of you. Whether it's being the naysayer, whether it's providing you the worst case scenario, whether it is actually testing or stress testing your everything. Right? That's red teaming. Right now, and based on things that Mark Metesky has written, things that Dan and I have been talking, things that other people like, you know, Matt DeVoe spoke to us the other day, last time he was here. Other people throughout the podcast we have interviewed and other people in the industry, they're realizing, okay, there is another level that no one is tapping into, and that is where we are in need to go, right? So what I'm trying to say is we need to figure it out how to get there. And it's not going to be a cyber thing. It's not going to be a physical thing. And it's not going to be a people-only thing. It's going to be a combination of many things. And it's going to be ugly, and it's going to demand people with various backgrounds, not just technical people in computers, or physical security experts, or psychologists, or whatever. It's going to demand a lot of people with a lot of backgrounds to get right.
Yeah. I think that's a cue for bringing up, while there's red team conferences like AttackCon, those are mostly focused on the technical and some of the physical aspects of red teaming. there hasn't been anything that's all-encompassing. And we've talked
that. We tried that before, but, I mean, it doesn't have... The thing is, it doesn't have... Right now, it doesn't have public for that. People think red teaming is pen testing. And until we change that mindset, we're stuck.
What we should do is start a Kickstarter.
Jesus, man.
Get enough funding to run a 30-second commercial on all the major channels. And then we literally sit down and say pen testing is not red teaming.
Well, but then we're going to have the big, you know, big like consulting company come and sue us.
I don't think they would sue us. I think that would open the coffers more for them, because they'd be like, oh, wow, we can start doing strategy for companies and like coining
as real red teaming.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Cyber physical red teaming.
Jesus. Okay.
And I was thinking, like, when we're mentioning like the conference thing, yeah. How crazy would it be to have like a Red Team Podcast alumni meetup where we all sit down like in person,
mm-hmm.
you know, we have 6 hours, 8 hours of recording or whatever. It's like a round table. We just do it. Like, that would be like the penultimate live session.
That'd be awesome.
And like do it in coinciding with, I don't know, some cheesy conference like Black Hat, for example.
Gosh. Okay.
But all the industry people are around at that time, and it'd be cool to like kind of get everyone together, I think.
Yeah, but let's do it on the East Coast. Don't make me go to California, please.
Well, I mean, Black Hat's usually Vegas, so that's close to West Coast, but
no, it's not close to West Coast, dude.
LA is only a few hours from California. I mean, not LA. Vegas is only a few hours from California.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Don't make me go to California. I don't want to go there.
California, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I don't want that.
We can do something in New York. A lot of people are in New York.
Yeah. Boston, D.C., whatever. Everything, anywhere in the Northeast, Center East. Nothing in the South.
D.C. would be a good thing. Maybe as like an extension to Suits and Spooks or something.
Is Suits and Spooks still going?
I haven't been down in that neck of the woods in you know how long.
Yeah. I need to talk to Jeffrey Carr, see if that thing's still going. Damn.
So we're just over 37 minutes. I know you said we need a proper episode to cover the four elements. And
yeah, I know. That's not today.
I've definitely gotten you away from the four elements several times. El Día de los Red Teamers.
El Día de los Red Teamers.
Dude, I speak en français. Not Spanish.
Let's see if we can do Hanukkah.
I can't do it.
Yeah, it's not Chanukah, it's Hanukkah.
Well, yeah, I've listened to enough. What's his name? Oh my god, this is good Scotch, by the way.
It is a good Scotch.
Adam.
Oh, the Hanukkah song.
Yeah.
What is the Hanukkah
song? Adam Sandler.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember when that shit first came out. I don't know if it was cassette tape or CD, but it was a long time ago.
Yep. Let's see.
Tonight is the seventh night of Hanukkah.
Norm MacDonald.
Here to sing a Hanukkah song is Adam Sandler.
God, he's so young in this.
I know, right?
Thank you.
It's like in his 20s.
Thanks very much.
This is like, I don't know what time
it
is.
Well, when I was a kid...
1994.
Yeah.
Always made me feel a little left out because in school there were so many Christmas songs and
well,
all us
yeah.
Jewish kids had...
Because Hanukkah doesn't really matter. Come on, get over it.
So I wrote a brand new Hanukkah song for you Jewish kids to sing and I hope you like it.
All right.
Put on your yarmulke, here comes Hanukkah.
There you go. Happy Hanukkah.
So much funukkah to celebrate Hanukkah.
All right.
Cool. I was just getting into it, man.
No. If anything, I should dig out. The Beastie Boys did a Hanukkah, Hanukkah song back in the day.
Good old Beastie Boys, man.
Yeah, man. Anyway, episode 42, it was... Whatever it is, hopefully something good came out of it.
I think there was good nuggets.
Yep.
One, they learned about cyber physical.
Dude, that is the shit. It's cyber physical is the thing.
I'm getting that. instead of, you know what, instead of finishing my my tattoo sleeves on the left arm,
yeah,
I'm gonna do in script for actually no big block like graffiti font. I'm gonna do cyber physical.
You should do it in what's the font? Papyrus.
Oh god damn, man! The most overused font in the world.
Yep.
Thank Hallmark for that.
Boom.
In papyrus, cyber physical.
But you should do it in every single language of the world. Just the whole sleeve is different languages.
Yeah, no. I'll do it in binary.
Damn, man.
Or not.
By the way, go to skiff.cloud. It's good, man.
Are you really hawking skiff.cloud?
It's the thing. You can do your skiffy things. You can do a secure like document thing, but browse Facebook at the same time.
You need to update it for your Amazon AOT. ATO, not AOT.
Yeah, ATO. Dude, but no, it's Google Network now. It's Google Cloud.
AWS. No, but didn't you just watch the AWS, like, reInvent?
It's already old.
So it's not even Google then at that point. It's Rackspace.
Rackspace. Check it out.
I heard eBay was setting up a data center for this kind of stuff.
Awesome. We should go Apple, though.
I don't know how to respond to that
Microsoft?
One.
No?
Okay. Azure?
Yeah.
A little Azure action?
Yeah. Skiff in the cloud. You don't even need to look your cell phone outside. You just bring it with you.
So AWS actually won the bid for the...
No.
Yeah.
Don't say it.
All right.
No. Cheers, man.
Cheers. What's his name? Alan Dulles.
Yes.
And who's the other guy? Coriolanus.
Yes. No.
They would know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. We should bring Coriolanus here again.
Coriolanus.
Yeah. AKA Mr. P. Yeah.
We should. Yeah, we'll have him back, and we'll have Alan back. I know a lot of people like the Intel conversations with Alan, especially with all his Russia shit going on and all this cyber-physical stuff in Tijuana. We need to have Ed back.
Oh, we need to...
Let's get Ed back, yeah. He is fucking things up south of the border. Do you see all his posts and shit like that?
Yeah. Man, gotta love Ed, man. Gotta love.
Yeah, well,
Ed, mi hombre, venga para acá otra vez. Okay?
Dude, I don't speak Spanish. The only Spanish I know is when I used to be a substitute teacher, actually.
In Spanish?
No, just in general. In one of the classes, some of the Spanish-speaking kids came out to me and said, Chupa mi pinga, Mr.
Chupa
Mr.
Mi w. What?
Chupa mi pinga.
Okay.
Suck my dick. Okay. That's what they were saying to me, and I didn't know. And I was like, oh, yeah, sure, okay.
I chupa.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Okay.
But, yeah, they would say a whole bunch of nasty shit to me in Spanish. So,
dude, south of the border, that's what it is.
I need to learn Spanish.
All right, I'll write to Ed. I don't know where he's at currently, but if we can get him north of the border, we'll get him on the show.
Yeah, we definitely need to have him back, and then we should have Rob Dubois. I know he wants to come back. He was fun when he was on.
Rob is awesome. Yeah. You know why? Because he just tell it like it is. It's raw. It's like, hey man, I had to like learn to be a terrorist.
And that's the thing that I was remember during the New York City Live, 3C Fox was there.
Yeah.
And we sat down and I was three sheets to the wind at that point. But he was asking me, like, what does it take to become, like, where we're at? And I was telling him, like, dude, you got to see some shit that you
probably... You don't want to see. Yeah, but yeah.
And it was great for Rob to kind of reaffirm that because hopefully we're not the only people that people like 3C Fox are listening to.
Mm-hmm.
He's gathering intel and information from a whole bunch of other people.
Hold on 1 second before we close. Let's see.
We're never going to close. There's still half a bottle of scotch to go. And I've already done this five-finger pour.
Five-finger pour?
Dude, come on, man.
Let's see if we can.
Who are you calling? Dude, if he answers.
That'll be awesome, but I don't think he answered. Probably busy somewhere.
Well, he's like 5 hours behind.
Is it five or six or
something like that?
Hi, you've reached Rob. Please leave your name and number and the reason you've called, and I'll get back to you within one business day.
All right, I guess it's not ready. Hey, Rob, this is Ori and Dan. We were calling you to chat with you 1 second. I'll catch up during the week, and I'll explain. Cheers.
There's no business days in wherever he's at.
Yeah.
I was about to say it. I had to check myself. I think
No. He mentioned in the podcast. Mentioned it, yeah, that, but it's fine. It's yeah, fine. Yeah. But regardless, it would have been nice to have him. Definitely. So, to-do list for me. I'm gonna call Ed, call Rob, and you need to call Alan, and you need to call Coriolanus.
Coriolanus.
Yeah.
And we'll get Carlos back on too.
Yeah, and I have two more guys. These two guys refuse to do it over the phone, and they're gonna be in New York January and February, so we might need to go to New York and record there.
We can do that.
Really, really two very good guys.
What about
one had like a little four stars in here and the shoulders.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah,
I think I know who you're talking about. What about Mr. Skullfucker? B?
Yes. Maybe.
I mean, he had tons of great input in the live, the
yeah,
New York City live.
No, yeah, we need to. Damn, you always make me bring people that know how to kill people.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing wrong with that.
As long as they're killing bad people.
They're always killing bad people.
Well, then that's great.
Yeah, that's the people I know. That's sorry. Shit. You made me realize that most of the people I know are people that are really, really, really good in killing people.
Well, the most people that I know are really, really good at doing cyber physical stuff and killing people. Yeah. It's too bad I wasn't, when I was down in San Diego for the day, I wasn't able to go to Resco.
You should have just go over the bridge and go to Coronado.
I know, but I was...
How about this? Next time you're there, if you're there, I don't know who's the leading petty officer today. We can probably find out through a bunch of people and get you to go see Butts or something.
That'd be badass, man. The entire time I was there, F-18s were just screaming overhead.
And it's fun.
The decapitators, I call them.
Mm-hmm.
The ones, the prop, what are they? What the hell are they called?
You know who else we should have here? Not that I'm talking about. We should have Nick here. Nick is a former team guy, a SEAL team guy. We should have him here. He has the right mind. He's not a red teamer, but damn, it red teams without being a red teamer. Yeah.
That's some metaphysical shit right there.
Right there, yeah. At the whole different level. This is after a lot of whiskey, yeah.
Come on, man. I've had...
But I had a bottle of wine before coming in.
I also drank Alambic before you came over.
Ooh, that's nice.
A bomber.
That's nice. Cool. All right. 40, what, 8 minutes?
48 and 10 seconds.
Episode 42.
The answer.
The answer. If you don't know what the answer is, then Google that shit, really. I expect you to DM me with the answer. And if you don't do it, then, hey, you know, sit deck astronomy.
All right.
Episode 42. Cheers.